Rachel Watkin is a multi-award-winning eco-entrepreneur, an expert champion for the DIT, and the most successful female Dragon's Den winner. She's just bought a company called Know the Origin, a sustainable online department store, to add to her portfolio, which includes the Tiny Box Company. Delighted to be joining me, live on the line from somewhere exotic in the UK, Rachel herself. Morning to you, Rachel.
Good morning. I'm really not sure about exotic. It is a pretty damp and cold here in the Sussex countryside.
Oh, well, just imagine when you get those days of summer, it will be verdant. You'll get, oh, you see, and then you completely forget about the weather at the moment. Very British thing to talk about the weather. Thank you for joining us this morning. Tell me just a little bit about, as the Americans say, your journey. How did you sort of get here? Multi award winning eco entrepreneur. Is it something? Is eco-entrepreneur something that marks you out from one of those ordinary, everyday entrepreneurs?
Oh, it sounds so impressive, doesn't it? It's actually ecopreneur, but. I guess the difference is that it's just not all about profit. Obviously, don't tell the dragons that.
Yeah.
But it's about taking a more holistic view and not just trying to make money. I guess it's the fundamental difference.
You mentioned the dragons. You were of course on Dragon's Den. How important do you think that series has been? A, in getting a generation of people thinking I should do my own startup, and also was it for you in your profile, as it were?
So for me, the biggest thing that it gave us was credibility, because people started taking us more seriously. I was a tiny startup. I'd only been trading about 6 months. And then suddenly people were prepared to potentially open doors. As a generational thing, I think that Dragon's Den's got a lot to answer for. it's been great for encouraging female entrepreneurs, well, entrepreneurs of all sorts. I guess the only bad side, if you like, is that they tend to be quite harsh and quite critical, which isn't necessarily great if you're a fledgling startup.
Yeah, perhaps, but one of the things that maybe it has done is they may be harsh, but a lot of people go into entrepreneur, decided to start up, which is a great thing. But they think, because they follow everybody on the social medias and, on the Instagram and the whole thing, that you just start up a business, get a website out there, start doing a couple of selfies, and the next thing the orders start flooding in, and you're buying your place in Ibiza and everything's rosy, and they don't see that it's, to quote a phrase, bleeding hard work to get something started up. It's not just a click a button and suddenly you're all successful.
Oh, yeah, no, you're absolutely right. So I run a lot of clinics, which are, free clinics to help other businesses. And the most common question is that I don't know what's going on with my business and I don't have enough customers. So you sort of say, okay, well, what's your business plan? Where do you want your business to be? And the most common response is, oh, well, I don't know. And I'm like, well, how can I help you get there if you don't even know where you want your business to be? And what are you doing to get your customers? Oh, well, I've got a website. Okay, well, how are customers going to find you? Oh, I hadn't really thought about that. And it's like, well, you are like the back end of a unit on some industrial estate in the Alaskan highlands or something. if nobody knows how to find you, and people don't seem to realize that website is your shop front. It's, if you want to be on the high street, you need to focus on it and make it look high streety.
And so what was, Know the Origin, for those who don't know the origin, if you pardon the thing, what was the idea behind that? And, how did you get it going and how did you get it out of the Alaskan highlands?
I wouldn't say that it is out of the Alaskan highlands yet. It's work in progress. But it was set up by a couple of university students after all of the media about Bangladesh, where there was the Plaza incident, where I think about 1,300 people lost their lives due to fast fashion. So they set up Know the Origin, with the idea being that any item of clothing or whatever had full traceability. I came across it in 2021 when we set up our own sustainable clothing brand, and thought it was a great brand. Last year, got into financial trouble. They ended up going into liquidation in August. I tried to help them through that liquidation process, and at the end of it, effectively bought the assets and bought the stock to try and resurrect it. So we resurrected it in October last year.
And so how important do you think it is that people do know the origin, do know where the fashion comes from? Because people, because you go, okay, well, I want to buy this t-shirt, well, that's a decent price, or I want to, you know, it looks great, you know, and you might see a little label that says made in Bangladesh, made in Honduras, etc. And yet we don't think, and we try to say that we are doing, you know, doing the right thing, but when it comes to saving a couple of euros, pounds, whatever currency you're dealing is, you don't actually think, oh, where does this come from, who put it together, what's the backstory, as it were.
I think that, especially in the last couple of years, we've been so overwhelmed with bad news. You know, we've had the whole COVID crisis, cost of living crisis, Ukraine, that people just can't handle any more bad news. So they kind of tend to switch off from it and not think about it. But actually, fashion is the second most polluting industry in the world. One in six people worldwide is employed in fashion, which is just staggering. And, you know, if you go back to the 80s, we would generally in the UK buy about 12 new items of clothing a year. And a pair of Levi's would cost you about 50 quid in 1982. A pair of Levi's now, about 80 quid. If it had followed the same line of inflation, we'd be paying about £400. So what's actually happened is that clothes have deflated, effectively, And the cost has come from somewhere. And unfortunately, that cost has come from labor. It's come from cheap production, cheap fibers that can't biodegrade. A lot of them are plastic, causing a lot of micro issues. As I say, the average consumer, because of the price point and because of not wanting any more bad news, tends to just not want to hear it.
So why would you want to get involved with this business then? If it seems like Know the Origin is in trouble, fashion's got a bad reputation. When you say, was it one in six person works in fashion? We're not all talking Devil Wears Prada here. We're not all going haute couture. You're meaning, you know, the people who literally are cutting cloth and sewing and whatever else. They're not saying, oh, look at that. The collection's out this week.
Yeah, no, I'm talking about literally every stage of the production process, from the fabric weaving, to the dyeing, to the actual cutting, making. But why would I do it? It's a very good question. Know the Origin, it was in financial trouble. It's not now, as I say, since we've bought it. But the idea is to just let consumers know, do you know what? Just don't worry about it, because we'll do the worrying for you. The idea is to take the pain out of the buying process, so that they know that anything they buy from us is, we've already done the testing and the tracing. So it takes the responsibility away.
How much legwork did you have to do? Because I know this is an online store, but once again, it's not a situation where you're sitting there, you know, in your penthouse suite in your gym jams and pressing a button and it all happens. So how much, even if you are an online entrepreneur, how much sort of footwork do you have to do to get it to that stage, so you know exactly what we're dealing with here?
So we open our first physical store in a couple of weeks' time, which is really scary, but great. But so much work has to go into it, where we obviously have to check out all the products. There's a full product checklist. We'll visit the factories where we can. We have to go through every single step to check that what we're saying is actually the case of traceability for each product. So it's a huge amount of work, and I wish that I could just sit there in my pajamas by the pool in Marbella. But actually, no, the reality is that my weekend is spent crunching numbers and checking that everything adds up.
And this is the other two questions I was going to say is number one, how do you staff. How do you get, because I just saw one of them flip by a minute ago in the background, but how do you, stylishly dressed, obviously, how do you recruit people? What's your mantra for people? Because, I mean, the problem with being your own boss and setting something up is then you can't do all the work yourself, otherwise you just burn out and you need a second set of eyes in case you get tunnel vision on the project. So how do you get... Because there are thousands of talented people out there. How do you get people with your vision, as it were?
Well, that is a challenge in itself. We've got about 100 staff and across both businesses. And the first thing I guess we try and do is Google do it as well, where it's kind of like a Google test, and we have like a tiny box test to check that you fit in with the culture, because the culture here is that you have to be able to think outside the box, you know, and not I can't stand people that just take orders. I want people to question me, and there's nothing worse than being surrounded by yes people. I want people to say, you don't know what you're talking about, Rach, we'd be better off doing it this way or that way. And they are the best employees without a doubt, but it's hard. It is hard.
Is that the reason it's called the Tiny Box Company? Because you have to be able to think outside the tiny box.
Oh, exactly. Yeah. It was called Tiny Box because I originally had a jewellery business called Tiny Difference, and it was a fair trade jewellery business. The mantra being, we can't change the world, but together we can make a tiny difference. And then it came to the packaging. I couldn't find any packaging, so decided to do that myself. And it was a spin-off, so it became Tiny Box.
But just this, the whole sort of free trade, eco-friendly. I mean, are we going back to inspirational entrepreneurs? Were you influenced by people like Anita Roddick and the Body Shop, like, you know, early 80s stuff? I'm just thinking out of the box myself here.
Well, I'm not being funny, Giles, but there's not exactly a huge amount of female entrepreneurs to aspire to. So Anita Roddick probably was the only one in her time. But, you know, for me, I'm not an eco warrior or anything like that. I just know that we can't keep burying stuff. We're going to run out of space. Yeah, one of the Buddhist monks made a brilliant comment saying that he couldn't understand why people dig all this stuff out of the ground to make something like a washing machine, fly it across the world to then bury it the other end. You know, and and that's what we're doing. You know, and we literally will run out of space.
If anybody's out there thinking that they want to have a crack at doing that, they've got a vision, a dream, they want to do a business, they want to set up their own thing. Because a lot of people during what we've been through in the past 3 years have reevaluated and gone online. Yeah. I mean, I suppose the main advice is it's going to be hard work. And also, I mean, how do you switch off? Because you can't, because you said, you know, over the weekend, you're doing this, that, and the other. But, you know, do you ever switch off? Or is it important for you to literally, you know, unplug the laptop, turn the mobiles off, and just have some me time, as the Americans would say?
Well, the first thing I would say is that anybody that is thinking about it, if you really have a burning passion, just do it, because we talk ourselves out of it all the time. We all have this monkey brain that says, oh, what about this if this happens or that happens? You know, if you want it, you've just got to go out and get it. But as far as switching off, that is a challenge. I'm obviously far too young, if you could see me.
Yeah, but, absolutely. We're the same age.
But I had granddaughter staying over the weekend. Exactly, far too young.
Exactly, child bride, obviously.
switch off by trying to make a cake for her mother for Mother's Day and flipping pancakes, which obviously ended up on the floor. Not a domestic goddess in any way, but it's about trying to get those precious moments of switch off.
What are you looking forward to then most with this particular project? Then Know the Origin. Where do you go in the next, when we speak 12 months hence? What should we be celebrating?
Well, hopefully, in 12 months' time, we will have at least 3 or 4 physical shops. My dream is to have them on pretty much every high street, because it's like a mini John Lewis, you know, it's a sort of mini department store where you can buy all sorts of gifts, clothing, household goods. And And if people know that they can go in and just anything that they buy, there's less carbon footprint, there's less to worry about, and that the staff that have made it have been paid a fair wage, it's like a no-brainer to have on every high street long term.
If people want to follow you online, find out more about the about both Tiny Box and Know the Origin, obviously they're online. Where can they go? And do you do a, like do you do your own sort of private, you know, private stroke public social media? I mean, just, you know, inspirational messages of the day.
So I have on Instagram at Rachel Watkin, Watkin spelled W-A-T-K-Y-N. And then, and same on LinkedIn. And then it's www.tinyboxcompany.com and www.knowtheorigin.com.
Well, I know that you're very busy. It's a Monday. It's somewhere in rainy Sussex. So thank you so much for joining us. Check out knowtheorigin.com and also check out Rachel Watkin, W-A-T-K-Y-N. Rachel, thank you so much for your time today.
Thank you very much for having me.